This is Doug Miller. This earth is moving toward a confrontation with evil and a terrible, terrible time. But there is a great time beyond this. A time of wonder and marvel and beauty unimaginable. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time with the Word of God in hand to tell this great story and these great truths forth with the sure and certain knowledge that God will ever and always bless His Word. And He will honor Himself, and He will honor His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And ultimately, He will put down all evil and all rebellion and all wickedness, and the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, of course, that's what I was just, we ended up with that verse last week, and here it is again, and I want you to open up your Bibles to Habakkuk 2. And look at verse 14, and we will begin here today and may even get down to the end of the chapter. Who knows? We'll see. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for seeing this word go out. And we are out there on faith and out there by really the faith and the prayers and the aid of those who have an interest in Dialogue Ministries, and we are grateful beyond words for you, and we just ask you to pray for us and tell others about us, and because without your support, we're finished, we're over, done with. That's what happens when you're kind of a low-budget operation, but we are low-budget by design, and we intend to stay that way. Any monies we have are going to be pumped back into this, and we're going to see this word go out as God gives us grace. Now, we would always love to hear from you, just to know that you're out there and listening, and to answer any questions you might have, to give you any help we might be able to give you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, verse 14 is a verse that is often quoted. This is one I love. I love to just think on this. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, the glory of the Lord there, as you might well know, is the glory of Yahweh, Jehovah. Or Yahweh is the Hebrew. It is not just the glory of the Lord in some vague sense, because, you know, this word Lord can mean anything. George Harrison, you know, had his song, My Sweet Lord, and he was singing about Lord Krishna, a Hindu god and an idol. I don't know. I mean, the word God can mean anything. I mean, people have different ideas about God, and you know, you'll hear people say, and you've heard me say on here before, individuals talk about the Muslims and their God Allah and how we all worship the same God. Friends, we do not. Put that thinking out of your head right now. Allah is not Yahweh, Jehovah. He is not. Never has been, never going to be. And this verse that I have just read to you does not say that the earth's going to be filled with the knowledge of God or Allah or Lord Krishna or Buddha or Muhammad. Now, if you say, well, you're a bigot, sir, fine, I'm a bigot. But I want to tell you that this is the Word of God I'm reading to you, and this is the truth, and you can put it in the bank. The earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh. the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the covenant God, the only true God. There is none else, and his name is Yahweh. And this is a beautiful and a wonderful thing to think about. Because today, do you think the earth is full of the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh? Guess again, friends. Just take a look out there. People out here in the world today are as dumb as dirt when it comes to God. They don't know a thing about him. And even people, many of them in churches, don't know anything. I am amazed at the people I constantly run into in the churches who don't know anything about the Bible. Who, you know, if you ask them something about their faith, they'll refer you to the right reverend so-and-so or father so-and-so or what, because they don't know anything. But we are moving toward a time when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There'll be no place where it is not. And, you know, they will no more teach their neighbors or their brothers know God. They shall all know him, from the least of them to the greatest. The day is coming when men will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. The day is coming when they will lay down their arms. And they will lay down their arms not because necessarily they want to, but because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. He's coming back, and he will rule and reign with a rod of iron, and the Gentile nations will be broken and shattered, and those that you know survive to live into the great tribulation will become worshipers of, and look at it here again, Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord. And of course, Jehovah, Yahweh, is the covenant name of God. I have said it more than once on here. When you see the word Yahweh, Jehovah, in the Old Testament, just think Jesus, because that's who it is. That's who he was before the foundations of the world, before eternity ever began, and that's how he's going on. And he is the one who became flesh and dwelt among us. And he will be glorified from the rising to the setting of the sun. And men and women will bow the knee to him. I love that passage in Philippians 2, where it talks about where Paul wrote, you know, that at the name of Jesus, and the name Jesus, of course, means Jehovah, Savior, at the name of Yahweh, our Savior, every knee shall bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now that's what's coming. Get ready for it. Those of you who are listening to me, where will you be when that occurs? Well, let me give you a little hint. You will either be with those of us who are saved and born again, who will be coming back to earth with their Lord when he comes back to reign in glory and to establish righteousness on this earth and rule in righteousness for 1,000 years. You'll either be one of us ruling and reigning with him, or your destination is the pit. Now, I mean, you know, what'll it be? How do you want to do this? For those of you who say, well, I don't believe that, fine, you don't believe it. Just go meandering on along and thinking that somehow it will come out all right. It will not come out all right. The gospel is that there is a way to be forgiven of your sins, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you, who was buried, who rose again, and he alone is the way of salvation. And let me tell you, it's not just that there's no other way. For those of you out there who think you're somehow working your way to heaven, by doing good works, you will hit hell like a ton of bricks. For those of you who think that you have to add something to what the Lord Jesus Christ did, whether it's baptism or communion or helping, you know, elderly women across the street, I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ plus anything is heresy and blasphemy. Now, you're either relying on him, or you are in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. As the hymn writer has said, it is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. It's him and it's him alone. And in that day, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. But now, before that day comes, we're going through a terrible, terrible time, and we're going to read it beginning in verse 15 and on down through verse 19. And I just want to read this, and let's take a look here. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts which made them afraid because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. What profiteth the graven image, and the maker thereof, that the maker thereof hath graven it? The molten image, and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake! To the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. All right, now let's stop there. The message here is to the nation of Israel. That message that we just read from 15 down through 19 is aimed at the nation of Israel, and specifically at the nation of Israel in the time that they are going to pass through, which we call the Great Tribulation. Now, the Great Tribulation, I mentioned it last week. I've mentioned it on here many times before. Some of you, at least, hear it mentioned in your churches, although I would be surprised if very many of you do, because most of the people out there who come out of our seminaries don't believe any such thing. They are laboring away, trying to build the house in vain. Laboring away, talking to you about love, peace, and brotherhood, when in fact they cannot see the forest for the trees. There is no love, peace, and brotherhood out there. There is hatred and viciousness and violence. How long do we have to look at the world and live through it and experience it before we know this? And for those of you who think, you know, oh, everything's good and everything's fine, and while we just haven't quite got it together, but if we just try a little harder, somehow we will. Oh, please. Act like you've got good sense. Look at the world. Has it gotten any better in the thousands of years it's been out there? No, we have turned it into a butcher shop. We have taken the world that God pronounced good and made it into something horrible and dreadful. And it's getting worse and worse. And the reason it's getting worse and worse, and don't make any mistake about this, is because people have simply rejected the Lord. They won't have him. They do not want him. I just saw on television this morning, I was dumbfounded by this. Here were some people, ACLU types, no doubt, who objected to individuals wearing T-shirts that were Salvation Army T-shirts. Now, what? They objected to these T-shirts as being offensive. Well, what was offensive about them? Well, I suppose the word salvation. I suppose that was the thing that troubled them. You know, if you say salvation, why you might make someone feel bad. Well, friends, let me tell you something. Salvation is of the Lord. And you will either accept the Lord's salvation and rejoice in it, or you are on the way to perdition. It's just that simple. And you can say, well, I don't like that. Okay, fine. You don't like it, and you don't have to like it. But I just told you the truth. Salvation, did you hear that? Salvation, vast, full, and free through the precious blood of the Son of God who was slain on Calvary. How did you like that? Well, I hope you did, and if you didn't, I hope you'll at least reconsider. But now look at this. We have got individuals here. Just to go back and review a little bit about what we've read, we've got an individual here who is a drunk and is making others drunk with him. And the drunkenness results in nakedness and shame and the uncovering of the foreskin. That's an interesting little figure, isn't it? And the cup of the Lord's right hand is spewing forth judgment on glory. Now, think about this drunkenness business a minute. Now, there is such a thing as physical drunkenness, and that is shameful, and you shouldn't be doing it. All right? Leave that where it is. But that is really not the greater teaching here. Drunkenness on a spiritual level means idolatry. That's exactly what it's talking about here. And when you read this in these Old Testament prophets, you can just be assured that it has a dual significance. Yes, physical drunkenness is not good. If you are the kind of guy, you open that jug of wine and down it goes until you're staggering and slobbering drunk, I have something to say to you. The New Testament makes it clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you go back and read it for yourself, that drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. But there is a greater kind of drunkenness than this. You see it fully coming to fruition in Revelation, the last book of the Bible, in chapters 17 and 18, where we find the old harlot, false religion, seated on the beast and riding it, dressed in scarlet and purple with gold and silver and jewels on her, with a cup of wickedness and sinfulness in her hand, and we read that she has made all the nations drunk with her idolatries and her fornications. And what we have in drunkenness here is pure idolatry, pure and simple, and God is shut out and pushed out, and we have people going after false gods. Now, believe me, friends, this is coming in, and it's coming in waves. It is coming in a flood. Already, all over this world, people are involved in idolatry. If you are out there worshiping Allah and being led around by this false prophet, you are in idolatry. Just that simple. This is idolatry. If you are, on the other hand, listen to this. This will get on some toes. If you say you are worshiping the God of the Old Testament, but you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Son, God the Son, you are in idolatry. Because the book makes it very clear, he who does not have the Son does not have the Father. You reject the Son, you are worshiping an idol. Oh, but it goes much farther than that. We've got the Hindus, we've got the Buddhists, we've got the secular types all over Russia and China, and I'm afraid all over Europe and this country, who don't believe in any God. They call themselves agnostics, they call themselves atheists, or maybe they say, well, I believe in God, but I'm not sure you can know anything about him, and you know the type. And all of this is idolatry. You're not worshiping gods of wood and stone, maybe. You are worshiping philosophies. You are worshiping politics. You're worshiping political leaders. Or maybe you're just out to get a buck. Maybe you're just involved in getting things and amassing wealth. Fine. Except I want you to know what the Apostle Paul wrote. He says that covetousness is idolatry. Or idolatry is covetousness. Same thing. One equals the other. You have laid hold on these things, and you are pursuing them, and that's the whole thing with you. And when you look at this, drunkenness, that's exactly what we have. See, when you're drunk, it affects your mind, doesn't it? It affects your walk, it affects your speech, it affects your hearing, it affects everything in your life. And when you get cut off from the living true God, and you are pursuing an idol, whoever or whatever the idol is, then this is exactly what you have. And your glory is going to be turned into, and the word here is shameful spewing. It is vomit. And the Lord Jesus said back in the third chapter of Revelation, and many of you will know this one, to the church at Laodicea, because you say, I am rich and I have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and poor and miserable and blind and naked. And because you are neither hot nor cold, I wish you were one or the other, I will spew you out of my mouth. And here we have it again. It makes me sick. This, friends, is where we are going, and this is where the world is going. And you can see in verse 17, the violence of Lebanon covering thee, and the spoil of beasts which made them afraid, the land and all of the, and the city, and the land here is Israel, and the city is Jerusalem. And this is where all of this is heading. Very frightening in many ways to look at what's going on right now. Now, this guy talking to you makes no apologies about it. I am absolutely for Israel, and I am for the Jews, and I hope to be able to say at the very end that I defended them to the end, because they are the Lord's people, and the Lord will break and curse anyone who is against them and who will not support them and sustain them. But let me tell you something. In spite of guys like me, they are moving toward a terrible, terrible time. And you can see it. You can see it all around. People turning against Israel. And even people who aren't necessarily against Israel, many of them say, well, you know, I'm sorry for them, but we got to get rid of them. Because they are, it's just a problem having them there. Lots of luck. You're not going to get rid of them. And to you Jews, it's not luck. It's a matter of fact. You're going to go through the fires before it's all over, like you've never gone before. And look at what we've got here. Look at the way this chapter ends. But, verse 20, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Ultimately, that's where it's all going. And the holy temple is that it's his, and it is going to be established in Jerusalem, and this is the messianic temple, and the Lord Jesus Christ will come back to reign, and that is why this little word, but, can be put in there. In spite of everything that's going to happen, the Lord will save his people, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and Israel, those that remnant that are left when he comes back will look up, and he will be seen coming back on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he who said to Israel, you will not see me again until you have cried, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They are going to do that very thing because they will look up. And the final thing, the way it all closes out, is that great millennial reign when the Lord is in his holy temple and when all of the earth keeps silence before him and when the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. Those of you who are listening to me, where are you going to be when this happens? Where are you going to be? Don't think that you can just go on along as you are going if you're unsaved and that somehow it'll all come out all right. It will not come all right. The gospel has gone forth. The Lord Jesus died for us all. He was buried. He rose again. He paid the price. And you can be saved now through trusting in him. Why don't you do that? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.